When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Peace on Earth. This Christmas season finds us a rather bewildered human race. We neither have peace within nor peace without. Everywhere, paralyzing fears harrow people by day and haunt them by night. And our world is sick with war. Everywhere we turn, we see its ominous possibilities. And yet, my friends, a Christmas hope for peace and goodwill toward all men can no longer be dismissed as a kind of pious dream of some utopian hoper. If we don't have goodwill toward men in this world, we will destroy ourselves by the misuse of our own instruments and our own power. Wisdom born of experience should tell us that war is obsolete. There may have been a time when war served as a negative good by preventing the spread and growth of an evil force. Make it plain. But the very destructive power of modern weapons of warfare eliminates even the possibility that war may any longer serve as a negative good. And so if we assume that life is worth living, if we assume that mankind has a right to survive, then we must find an alternative to war. And so let us this morning explore the conditions for peace. And as we'd explore these conditions, I would like to suggest that modern man really go all out to study the meaning of nonviolence, its philosophy and its strategy. We have experimented with the meaning of nonviolence in our struggle for racial justice in the United States. But now, the time has come for man to experiment with nonviolence in all areas of human conflict. And that means nonviolence on an international scale. Now, let me suggest first that if we are to have peace on earth, our loyalties must become ecumenical rather than sectional. No individual can live alone. No nation can live alone. And as long as we try, the more we're going to have war in this world. The judgment of God is upon us.
Yes, sir.
And we must either learn to live together as brothers, or we're all going to perish together as fools. Yes, as nations and individuals, we are interdependent.
Wilson, where are you?
Are we doing hashtag AskWatch?
Wilson!
This is Bruce's relax.
Wilson!
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Just finishing up the prep for the love segment. Actually, we got some good questions this week, so
nice, good.
Yeah, we'll get into that once the guys get here. Obviously,
just got back from getting my noodles.
Nice. What'd you get today? What's on the menu today?
Same.
Oh, the same? You're not trying to change it up every once in a while?
I tried to. I went with the udon noodles once, but they're not as good as the Korean.
Oh, you don't like udon noodles? The thick ones?
Well, it's not so much that. It's the portion they give you is small. Because the noodle's so heavy, I think.
Yeah.
The Korean, what I've been doing lately is adding carrots and what's the other thing I added? Carrots and the heck was that? What did I add? Let me check. Carrots, marinated steak, cabbage and carrots. That's what I added.
Nice. Like the...
I like crunchy.
Napa cabbage. Asian cabbage, basically. Not that American stuff.
What's the Asian is different than...
Yes.
The red one.
Oh, okay. That's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Napa cabbage, which is what's used to make like kimchi. It just has a different flavor and texture than traditional American cabbage. Like, I'm not a big fan of like...
Oh, yeah. I see.
Red cabbage is actually cool because it has like a nice texture. I enjoy red cabbage, but like, you know how like the ones that
fish tacos, red cabbage.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm a fan of that, but like, you know, the cabbage that looks like lettuce, kind of like the same shape as lettuce.
I see what you mean.
That's not the cabbage that I fuck with.
The big
Napa cabbage, totally different shape also.
That's the cabbage you put in Irish, you know, St. Patrick's Day thing there.
Oh, okay.
Corned beef. Cool. Like, you know.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's cabbage. Cool.
That's the type you use. Oh, it's so good. But this Napa cabbage, I mean, I'm very ignorant on this matter, but isn't this like, this not bok choy? That's a whole different thing?
No, that is not bok choy. Bok choy is more leafy and green, which I also love bok choy. That's one of my...
Yeah.
Probably one of my top three leafy greens, if I'm being honest. Very versatile.
Okay, I see.
You can use it in a stir fry. You can use it in lettuce. I'm a big fan of bok choy.
Fascinating. I've like revamped my thinking as if like, oh, wait, you know what? Oh, yeah, I'm recording. As if I live in Westworld. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's like,
no.
There's like an equivalent. You know what I mean? There's like this, but then there's the Asian version or the African version. Everything's the same, but it's different, you know?
Yeah, like dumplings. Like Italians have ravioli. We have pot stickers.
We're all doing the same thing here, you know? Right.
But they're all like slightly different variations. Like the Mexicans have like empanadas. Sorry, mm-hmm. I don't know if Mexicans, if empanadas are Mexican or if they're like Ecuador.
Empanadas, I think, are actually Filipino. But they're like, because the Spanish, it's the Spanish-Filipino thing.
Right, right. Mix. Yeah. My best friend is Ecuadorian, so she'll probably correct me on that if I'm wrong. But there's also like meat pies or like, you know, like the, oh, I forgot where they're from, but I always used to get them from like the corner store in New Orleans that just are like sort of like puff pastry with like a meat filling, really good, especially at 3 a.m. when you're stumbling home from the bar.
And the, you know, like one of my favorite things is the Jamaican beef patty.
Oh, yeah. Patty. Yeah. It's the meat pies I'm thinking about are like a version of Jamaican beef patties. Not quite the same, but yeah, pretty similar.
I mean, empanadas and a chicken Jamaican patty are really close.
Yeah.
Really close. You know, you're like, God damn you, Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. So like the Asians have pot stickers. Japanese have gyoza, which are very similar to pot stickers. Just usually the fillings are slightly different. Ravioli Italians. What else? I feel like there's a lot more that we're kind of missing. What do the, it's like the American version.
It goes back to my theory.
There we go.
The hot pocket. The hot pocket. What is the homemade, I guess would be pie. Because we don't really have a like handheld food item that was homemade in a house that was dumpling-ish.
We do. It's in Asian, it's called xianbing. Like it's I don't even know what the English translation is, but like it's sort of just like the dough is actually way thicker, not way, but like definitely thicker than a pot sticker. And like it's about the size of like a little bigger than the palm of your hand, probably. Mm. And it'll be pan fried on both sides. It's usually like a steam fry process, and the filling can be similar to pot stickers, but there's usually a lot more variance just like depending on what region and personal preference. These are really famous. They're called like pepper hujiaobing, pepper and meat, basically like pepper seasoning with like, meat and onions, ground meat and onions. It's like really savory, like it's like the dough is just like so amazing because it's like, this is the word that I was trying to think of that there's not like an English equivalent for. Like it's not chewy, but like the English, like we kind of came up with like al dente. Sort of chewy, but it's like we call it QQ in Chinese, which funny because Q is like an English letter. But it's just like the texture is like, it's like both chewy and but sort of bouncy. It has like a little bit of bounce to it.
Interesting. Like
an al dente noodle is what Maze was saying. But yeah, they're fabulous, and I am a big fan of those. My mom makes them homemade sometimes, but they're a lot of work because, like, I don't know, dough. Anytime you have homemade dough, it's pretty involved.
I'm looking up pierogi history now. That's the same.
Yeah, pierogis are basically dumplings.
Is that Polish?
Yes. We were talking
I know that they're famous.
A filling wrapped with dough. And so like the Russians have pelmeni. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Sorry, Ilya.
Learning that everything either started in Asia or Africa.
I agree. That is, it's.
That's what I was saying. West world, baby. or East and South world, which I'm not at. They might be in the future of my West world experience, but that's what I'm guessing is happening here.
But the past could be future.
It's pretty much a micro world, right? But let me see, because you know, I don't know. Let's see where the pierogi comes from.
Poland. They're Polish.
Well, I know they're, I don't know. Let's see. Or do you Poland's mean like national dish has been served since there since at least the 13th century.
Oh, but actually, word, speaking of dumplings and the history of dumplings, friend of the show, Ryan Shakim dropped a really good thread in the Discord about like the history of dumplings. This, let me see if I can. Really.
But it this was like is, about. It could be another like, Marco like, Polo thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it traces way far or back.
Or the Tartars. The Tartars did invent tartar sauce. That's a fact. Just kidding.
Oh. I was like.
It says, I love when I click on an article that tells me it's the history of pierogies and then has no clue what the history is. Thank you, article, for that.
That's a little thing called clickbait that's rampant in our culture right now.
Oh my God. I love Polish food. It's like, I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite things. I'm not sure why. I mean, New Britain had a big Polish population when I grew up. But and then I lived in Greenpoint, which was like almost like a mirror image of New Britain, Hispanic and Polish and white.
I love pierogies. One of my best friends has like Polish roots. Like I think her grandmother is actually from Poland, and she took me to a really good pierogi spot, not in Ridgewood, but like not too far from Ridgewood, Queens, either.
Mm-hmm. The
what about pierogi Antich?
Is that a basketball player?
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Is he Polish? Like,
is that a European stash?
I mean, he had a moment. Yeah, whole playoff series is centered on him. I got changing the game.
I actually have a fun fact and a theory, conspiracy theory. I had lunch.
You?
Henry Abbott. And C.J. McCollum and his brother at Veselka in the east side there, New York City. And now, as I'm watching C.J.'s career pan out, it was clearly a, like, I need to figure out what these guys are doing so I could do it myself, which is what he's doing. He's doing Troop TV. Come on. You know?
Well, didn't he study journalism?
He's good at it.
I know. I think he did, yes. Very good.
There have been other NBA players to try and to fail, so he's good at
Mike,
it.
Mike, your Waz is low. Waz, your mic is low.
Yeah, I put it low for Woke Bros. Rob said my shit been coming in hot, like my whatever my stems I've been sending have been super hot. But I'm a I think I need a new mic. Honestly.
Yeah, there's like a difference between when you record it yourself and what you come through to, like,
yeah, to the people that's listening.
To the listening, it's weird. I've been dealing with that with Amin.
Oh, really? Yeah. No way, Amin, with audio issues. What else is new?
I'm picking up the.
I put the volume up. How's it now?
Better, much better.
Turn my headphones up.
I'm gonna get you this same mic that get me Amin.
Okay, sick.
So anyway, when I went back to my noodle adventure, I went to get my noodles today. There's a guy that now knows me at the place. And so whenever I pick up my thing, he says, "What up, Jade?" You know,
not sesame chicken boy.
Yeah. It's you noodle really boy funny. Now?
Yeah.
I'm noodle boy now. And, but I really, the way we became associated was one day. I had ordered and I sent the order to the wrong place. It was over in another town. And so I went there and I'm like, you know, asking him where my order was. And then he finally figures out that it went over to Windsor, whatever, Manchester. And then he goes, "Don't worry about it though. I'll make you up a new one." You know? And I thought that was so cool. I was like, "Thanks, dude." That's how you pay it forward. You know what I mean? That type of action right there. Because, I have to say, like, a lot of these, like, especially, like, a chain place, they stick to the rules. You know, hey, you ordered it from that place. sorry, gonna have to go get it there.
Yeah, I mean, that seems pretty basic, but yeah, you're right. Like any corporate system, the person that works there is going to be like, I don't know, man. I have to talk like, to – this isn't my problem, like man.
A bagel like, I don't cut know. In half at Dunkin' Donuts, for Christ's sake, you know? Cut the bagel in half. Make that corporate mandate. Like, seriously.
Oh, it's totally the worst when the bagel's what not cut in going, half and you don't have – right? Or if they only give you the little flimsy knife that you can't even cut the bagel with, then you're just and like – the knife
all the
breaks.
Cream cheese starts coming out.
Now, to be fair, that flimsy knife – Ben Affleck cut a thumb off with one of those flimsy knives in the movie Gigli, which we reviewed on Cinephobe, which you can subscribe to on any podcast platform.
Wow. Is it stuck? Why did I have to cut it up?
Well, I mean, spoiler alert. They're trying to prove.
How deep do you want to get into Gigli? Yeah, I don't know if you want to be asking those questions.
Wait, so there was no bagel involved?
With the
what's tougher, eating a bagel or the human thumb bone?
I'm just saying, was it like he accidentally cut off the human thumb when he was trying to cut the bagel?
Cut the thumb off of a corpse in order to send it to like someone as like a mob,
to unlock someone's phone.
There's no way you can cut a human thumb off with a plastic fork.
And did it in probably like 11 minutes.
Although, if it is a sort of like. If it's been dead for a while, like, I don't think you're...
Oh, plastic. Are you kidding me? If it's one of those Walking Dead zombies, you're cutting right through that. For sure.
Flesh is all rotted, you know? Like, oh, I don't know. Goodness. I think you'd have to reinflate it if you were trying to, like, fingerprint ID to unlock a computer, though.
That's true. I do think that would happen.
Yeah. Oh, man. Bad joke. Sorry.
New restricted areas out, right, Zach?
Oh my God, is it ever? And it couldn't be coming at a better time. As Kyrie X has been talking in the media.
That man quoted Malcolm X.
Today? Last night.
That man what is a 250 millionaire. And he quoted Malcolm X.
A man who got murdered for his beliefs.
Yeah, like actually killed.
Yes.
Like actually died.
Fighting for racial equality.
Right. Like basic human rights, like totally a livable wage and totally respectable housing.
As you being contractually obligated to talk to media on
Jesus
media.
Yeah.
To talk to beat guys, right? Like nobody's actually asking you to talk to Skip or Stephen A or, you know, like the prominent dudes, right? Like to talk to beat guys on the Brooklyn Nets beat. It's incredible. Like, nobody would expect you to show up to whatever the Fox show is and listen to Skip say the dumbest shit ever in life and expect you to listen to it and be like, whatever. But like the beat guys who cover the team every day, who are easily the most thoughtful people about your team.
It's within their it's interest crazy. That you're good, by the way.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That sells more than, like, oh, this team sucks.
And also, there's something that I don't think guys understand is that, and I'm not saying this because I'm a media member now, but because I always felt like this, but, like, they're going to be able to communicate to the people better than you are because that's what they do for a fucking living, right?
Yeah.
Like, just like your crossover is better than whoever that beat writer dude is, his communication skills are better than yours. Like, you want that dude to kind of be the conduit to the people, to put a nice face on it. But if you refuse to, and whatever, you think you're better at it than the beat reporters, obviously, right? Because I don't think he's like, oh, I don't want to talk, period. I don't want the fans to not hear from me at all. He's just saying, I don't need the filter of the media because I'm so great at communication because your track record has shown that you've been just so great at effectively getting people to understand what the fuck it is you're trying to say. So it's, man.
And foremost, and as such, I am for whoever and whatever benefits humanity as a whole. Malcolm X. Followed by, I pray we utilize the quote, fine money, unquote, for the marginalized communities in need, especially seeing where our world is presently. I am here for peace. I am.
That wasn't Jade stumbling.
Sam, I am.
It says I am in parentheses, and then I am. outside of parentheses.
Green eggs and ham.
I don't know if that's supposed to be like a hype man.
No, I think
one's in the background.
I am.
Yeah. I think that might be, and if I'm not mistaken, I think that might be like a Rastafarian thing.
Okay.
Because that's a thing in Rastafarian.
Why not sample another influence?
I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna Photoshop this.
That's the thing
this.
In Rastafarian culture. Like they say the term "I and I" a lot. Like I and I. Yeah, yes. That's a thing. So that's why I think
one thing. One thing I want to address, and I put this in our news headline on The Athletic, is I'm glad that he's concerned about the quote-unquote fine money and where it would go. Do you guys know what the NBA does with fine money?
No.
They give it to charities at the end of the season. Oh, do you know how they come up with said charities?
I do not.
No.
They consult with the Players Association.
Yeah.
The league consults with the Players Association to figure out where that money should go. Kyrie Irving
is the VP.
One of the vice presidents of the executive committee of the Players Association. I feel like we got a good idea of where that money might go where he can figure out where it goes. Like, not saying he gets to decide, but he can influence it. So I think that's a great idea of him to do his job there.
The best is the end here. I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more.
Yeah, I need to know. Obviously, Kyrie Irving thinks he's a king or a queen, but what chess piece is he actually?
Son, he doesn't.
He's not a
know.
Rook who's been in the league for 10 years.
He doesn't know with any of that. All that shit you're talking about right now, he has no idea. He just knows he's heard the term pawn before and it referred to people who weren't important.
I think he watched Queen's Gambit.
Good show.
No, Ilya actually texted me this morning. He said, if I don't see a Kyrie's Gambit headline today, society has failed. So that was pretty funny.
Well, according to Restricted Area, he called himself the king, I believe. So
that's true, yeah. Yeah, I would check out, did Kyrie join us? Did we fake that he joined us? Find out on the Restricted Area on the Athletics YouTube channel.
Fucking died. I died. I watched that like 20 times in a row. I swear to God.
It's really funny. Was killed.
The whole episode's a masterpiece.
Stop distracting me and my team and appreciate the art could be referring to the Restricted Area. Who knows?
Yes.
Watch it to find out.
Appreciate the art.
Yes. Oh, man. This is going to be good content. Good content.
It is not going away.
So he doesn't get it. He doesn't get that the best thing to do would just be to not talk.
Well, no. Here's the thing. You don't have to give the media anything, but you have to give them something, right? Like, But like by talking to them, he can get on that damn Zoom meeting with the local beat writers and just speaking cliches.
Yeah,
that's what every
useless sound
quarterback does.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson is one of the most exciting players I have ever watched play the game of football. Right, he is beyond the most boring person to ever have an interview. He doesn't say anything, but he talks a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there is a way to do this. Just
both teams played hard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just play the quarterback role. It's so easy to do. And then you don't get into these dumb little distraction controversies, and you get to keep all your money.
Yeah. It's like there was an easy way to accomplish his goal, and he decided to pick, like, the most messy way to go about it.
Well, I have another way you can spend that fine money, Kyrie. Little Mac Weldon, baby.
Ooh, get comfortable as you don't talk to him.
That's what I feel might be the problem. This guy's just not comfortable in his pants.
Yeah.
When it comes to holiday gifting for guys, and I'm first in line, I'll be the first to admit that it's not necessarily my strong suit. But now, and this is weird, when I was coming back from my noodles, I was fidgeting with one of my zipper pockets of my Mack Weldon sweatpants, and I realized how nice the little rubber thing outside of the metal thing is.
Yes.
It's just a little detail.
Jay, when it's freezing, when it's 60 degrees here in Los Angeles, and that metal zipper gets cold, you don't want to touch that little rubber piece to block you from that cold. Oh my God, it's great.
Exactly. Or like out here, you know, if you put your tongue on it, it's going to stick. Whether it's But now, thanks to Mack Weldon, it's super easy and simple to find something great no matter which guy you're shopping for. I'm going to pass this on to my wife because I've been looking for some new ones. Whether it's Mack Weldon's warm knit tops, undershirts, or Sunday lounge pants, Mack Weldon has men's basics that are guaranteed to keep everyone on your list comfortable. So yeah, if you don't have an idea for your boyfriend or your husband, this is a great gift because they're going to like it. Trust
me. Can't go wrong with it. It's just so comfortable, high quality, soft is the key word. Yeah. Soft and comfortable.
A lot of times, and I get the token socks. I get the token hoodie and the sweatpants. And I'm like, Hannah, just bring them back. Like time and time and time again. Occasionally I might stick with something. I always ask how much this costs. And depending on the price, I'll be like, all right, I'll just keep it. But men's essential socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, I'll wear it once. Versatility, look great, feel great from working out, going to work or on a date. I'm telling you. Technology, wide range of customized fabrics that keep up with you no matter what your day looks like. I wear them for when we do soccer with Grayson. I wear them to sleep, and I'm wearing them right now at work. And then Weldon Blue, totally free loyalty program. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life. Once you reach level 2 by spending $200, you get 20% off every order for the next year.
Yep.
Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear, try out the underwear. They're great. You can keep them and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. So win the gift giving season and get 20% off your first order. Visit MackWeldon.com/ding and enter promo code ding. That's MackWeldon.com/ding, promo code ding for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics. Great gift, peoples. So anyway, back to Westworld. I'm always amazed at how Bernard keeps these glasses on. Just come on. Guys get thrown around, you know. Glasses always are on.
Amazing. Well, you know, it's that 3-point fit on glasses. That's the key. Temple nose, and for some companies they really nail it.
He wears them right down at the end there. They're reading glasses, but they always stay on. It's amazing.
So you're saying that's the giveaway?
Like yeah, he's a robot.
That's it right there. Like no human it can do that.
It should have been. Yeah, should have been. That was amazing, dude. That show has some phenomenal episodes.
Yeah, and season one was really good. Should have called it.
Yeah. Dude, the first two episodes of season two are amazing, which are like they're essentially codas to season one because it's that transition period.
Shout out to Ed Coda.
But it reminds me a lot of did you get this? It's a lot like Lost to me. Do you feel that?
Why? Because it's on an island.
You know, they're walking. Based my my lasting memory of Lost was walking through the forest. Random person, what's up? Hey, how you doing?
Well, I was like, with the whole Easter eggs thing, like, you know, that song was playing because of this, and oh, that book is mentioned because of this. Oh, I'm just like, shut the fuck up and just show me the smoke monster. Like, I don't care. All right, I don't need these fucking Easter eggs and levels to all this stuff. Like, I get it. You're clever. Just give me the story.
There's this guy in Westworld, Maze. I call him Scrooge McDuck. He's the Scottish business owner there. Uh-huh. And in the scene that I'm just watching now, he's trapped in a room.
So you're into season two.
Yeah.
So you're talking about Delos.
Yeah, and it reminded me a lot of when my favorite character in Lost, who also had an English accent, what was his name? Desmond. When we first meet him, he's in the that bunker. You know.
Yeah, the hatch.
The hatch, that's what it was. Yeah, reminded me of that. I think there's a lot of similarities. But, man, I'm digging season two, man. Digging it.
It derails.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
I really like the direction from Jade, where he trashes season two.
It's really coming, guys.
No, in all honesty, there's scenes I'm like, really? Come on. But I don't know. It's still working for me. Still working. What do we got in the bag? Or do you want to start in love questions?
Let's do a quick bag first. So you're kind of talking about this a little bit. Jake and I am going crazy. Who got the angriest it was on Twitter this week edition? Taylor Swift fans, Kyrie fans, or people who don't understand the multiple meanings of left of center?
Ooh.
Man, that's tough.
How many people are fitting right in the middle of the Venn diagram of those three things?
Yeah, it was definitely the left of center thing just took me off guard, where I'm just like, are you reading this? Like, are you? Did you read the tweet?
Explain why.
So, you know, we just dropped the culture vertical. Like, I played. It was so crazy that day that I played it in my mind multiple times. Like, we just dropped the culture vertical for The Athletic. Shouts to Khalid Salam. He's in charge of that. And you know, we're basically rolling out offbeat sports stories, which in my tweet I termed left of center. And between the words left and culture, certain people, well, first of all, let me backtrack. Somehow Marco Rubio, the cuck senator from Florida, his chief of staff somehow got a hold of my tweet and retweeted it, quote tweeted it, and was like, man, just what we need, more politics and lefty stuff in sports. We just come to sports to be left alone and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, and then that just basically triggered a bunch of right wingers hitting my shit and hitting The Athletic like, oh, I know exactly what we need because it's worked out so great for ESPN, blah, blah, more liberal shit, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized that, like, one, just the word left triggers people, like those people anyway, like just seeing the word left just drives people crazy. Two, people associate culture with liberalism, which is so fucking weird to me as somebody who, I guess in the American context, like my family brings quote unquote culture to America, right? But I don't know people who are more conservative than them. And so, but it's when you're white, And you're American and you hear culture, it's associated with liberalism and Democrats and, you know, coastal cities and all of that shit. So, and just the word culture by itself triggers people. So like me having left of center in a tweet, which again, if you're just taking the term for what it means, left of the center, what's at the center of sports coverage, transactions, game analysis, whatever you want to call it, the nuts and bolts of what we fucking do at the site, right? To the left of that, slightly askew, would be the Howard Cosell, John Lennon shit, my sneaker shit, you know, Rex Kalamian being of Armenian descent and thinking about his family abroad who are going through a war. That's not will the Clippers have a top five defense this season, right? Like, it's left of center. But people just went crazy and it's just like, well, that term in and of itself is political and sports have become political and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, all right, so cool. So how come when in the political context we call something a home run, nobody goes, that's not sports, what the fuck? Nobody's stupid enough to say that. You know what the context is. You know what people are trying to say. And it was insane. and another thing, it just got me thinking about so many things. Like, even when we talk about sports, if we're going to use the term culture and liberalism, as it pertains to sports, like sports culture is extremely conservative, like I don't care where you go, where you want to go, whether I don't care if it's college football or the NBA, it's conservative. Like, do y'all not remember the fucking Jason Collins thing? We had to throw a fucking parade because dudes didn't call him the F word in the NBA. And this is supposed to be the most liberal sports. Just because they're black, it's liberal. It just shows me, like, people don't think about what the fuck they're saying. And, like, words don't even mean anything anymore. It's like, if we actually was talking about the culture of sports, the culture of college football, the militarism, the money. Money has nothing to do with liberalism. That's conservatism. The money class is conservative. Like, everything about sports is conservative. I don't know where people – it's just once you add a non-white element to something or you add shit that white people just straight up don't have a facility with – or white sports fans, I should say, don't have a facility with or don't know offhand, it becomes this other thing. But it was just like, we're in the fucking Twilight Zone, man. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, all right, are we going to get political? Like, are we going to – you think we're going to talk about immigration policy or tax policy or healthcare policy or, you know, trade policy with China on the fucking culture vertical? Like,
come on. Get it on there.
Like, Jay, like, I'm just like, does politics, like, does the word politics not mean any, like, it? Like, these words don't mean shit. That, like, people don't care what the meaning of words are anymore. That's what I realized with that tweet. Honestly, I was legitimately baffled by the response by a certain type of people.
Yeah. I mean, it started a long time ago, you know?
I was just like,
it's just further proof. Like, no one actually reads anything they're responding to on the internet.
Of course not.
They don't. Like,
some of these quote tweets are hilarious, though. I think I like this one that is just a picture of www.creedthoughts.gov.www/creedthoughts. That's the culture vertical of the Athletic. Creedthoughts.
I've always like look around and wonder what algorithmic tanglement are people in individually. Like, yeah. Waz clearly has his. I know I have mine. Zach probably has his. if you're doing something a little bit not what you're supposed to do on Twitter, and you're engaging, you're gonna find your way into these pockets.
Bro, I never do. And the crazy shit, Jade. Like, as much basically, I do tweet about politics all the time, but I've never interfaced with that side of Twitter ever in my life, like, ever. Because you're so siloed off in the people you follow and the people who are following you. So it is never any crossover. And the amount of tweets is like, thank God I'm canceling my subscription. I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
And you know for a fact these motherfuckers didn't have a subscription.
Exactly.
Show me a receipt.
Yeah.
You're canceling. Show me a receipt. And by the way, I'll go buy one for someone else. They've got great deals.
I get responses. Like, what the algorithm will do is actually trace your Twitter history, pull up stuff that someone might have mentioned months ago, and then goes, I'm happy that this happened to you. You know what I mean? As if they know you. But I'm always like, it's the first time you're ever interacting with me, robot. You clearly just trace down the line and pick something that someone said.
You know what I've been doing lately, too, is – and this is just the – it sounds so obvious, but like I had those fucking nerds on NBA Twitter recently get mad at me because I made a comparison talking about this Kyrie thing where I was like, look, the media, like media is, it's very scorned, right? Like there is a Trumpian reaction to media, especially in sports. And they took umbrage with like me saying, especially in sports. But my point is like with Fox News, you have people who are very pro Fox News, right? With MSNBC, people who are very pro MSNBC. Everyone kind of just hates sports media because they feel like it's against their team and there's a conspiracy, right? Like everything's agenda. And like sometimes, yes, it is. But for the most part, we're just trying to like, I don't know, that dude's good or he's not. That's right. What we think. Like that dude has a cool story, he doesn't, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so like I had all these people mad and like I'm in the past, I would respond and all this shit. And now like I just let it go and I just keep tweeting what I want to tweet and I'll respond to a couple here and there. But all that shit goes away within an hour if you just don't address it. Like no one cares. They just move on to the next shiny object.
Yep.
And one, right. I forgot to respond to this one, but someone one of these nerds called me. They're like, oh, one of the top three smuggest people on this app. And I'm like, dude, I'm top 10, but don't put me up there top 3. That's a lot of pressure that I haven't earned yet.
Okay? By the way, to answer the question, Maze, the culture right wingers, culture warrior right wingers just wanted the Athletic to basically close up shop, fold as a business, which would, you know, threaten my livelihood, which is one thing. But Kyrie's fans wanted to fight me. People literally threatened. Literally was like, somebody needs to step to you. Somebody needs to fucking put hands up.
So what's worse?
I don't know.
Wow.
Bodily harm or financial ruin? Which one?
I don't know. I mean, really? The idea of someone saying someone needs to step to you. I'm not going to do it, but someone.
Yep.
It'd be a killer video project to actually follow through with this. You know, let's go meet this guy.
Just have a fight. I'm in.
I think it'd be great.
25-year-old Zach? That dude had a temper. You know? Think I'm a hothead now, Jade. Back then?
Yeah. God. Yeah.
Great. Nice. Great, stupid content. Well, that's also just so dumb. Like, fight over something that's real. Okay?
That's...
Like, like, this shit is not real. None of this matters.
Been doing the soccer with the kids, you know? And they're getting stronger and better and more competitive. And, well, poor Jackson, who's like my son's best friend. He's a crybaby, you know, and he's a flopper. So he'll like flop and then start bawling. I've been videotaping these and I slow him down and I'm like, dude, this is a flop. This is a flop. Like he went down yesterday, barely hits his side and then starts holding his nose.
That just means he's an advanced soccer player. Like he's just picking up the techniques early. Like you can get really far just by flopping in soccer.
Gray's been working on his slide tackling. Oh my God. And yesterday I said to him, I go, Gray, put your body into it. Not the slide tackle, just the overall exertion of the sport. And my man just like three in a row just took out Jackson and Shane like three times in a row. It was so funny. Coach had to say, okay, no slide tackling. No, the kids are getting pissed about it. But yeah, like real life things will get you into that space, you know, and it's good. I always feel that's a good thing. But doing it on the internet, not good. You know, bad for your health.
Yeah, it's just so dumb. And again, like, if you want to fight over something that actually matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyrie Irving doesn't give a fuck if you fight over him. I hate to break it to you. He doesn't care if we write about it. He doesn't care if you fight over him.
I just don't think that there's anyone out there. Like, I feel like if we did this, we'd show up. It'd be a vacancy. You wouldn't show up.
Right.
You know? See, but no, but my thing, Jade, is, okay, so that's another rule. And I think I've said that on here. I think some people would show up and be very sheepish. On Twitter, I'm not going to engage somebody who doesn't have an avatar of themselves up and is following 1,000 people and has 26 followers.
Right.
You made that account so that you do not have to be held accountable for what you say. And so therefore I have no reason to engage with people who have no desire to be held accountable for the shit that they say. Like I have to own what I say on the internet. It's my face, my name, like, you know where I'm at. So I don't engage with, but there's genuine people on the internet getting tight about Kyrie Irving, Jade. Like, this is a real thing.
That's reminding me too. It's long. So weird. I don't even know, 6 months ago. Insane. When I was in a thing with some Twitter people and I accused two people of being fake. And I was like, all right, call me. Call me then. And they both called me and were fans for a long time.
Man, those bots are getting comprehensive.
I know.
That killed me, that's dude. Funny. I was dying when that happened. It's so
I
see.
I don't think it's it's real people, but it's real people being bitches.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you're telling me that I'm a coward for something, and you have an anonymous account, like, dude, Like, there's nothing brave about what you're doing. Like, don't tweet me from your burner. That's usually, if I respond to it, I'm usually like, you can tweet me from your main account. It's fine.
Man, the internet. Some Westworld knowledge here. You know?
So dumb. It's and like also, like, about- here's the other thing. Nobody cares about this shit. Like, it, like, really cares, right? You just want to get angry on Twitter for a little bit, and then you move on to the next thing to be angry about. Like, you just, I get it. You're frustrated. Oh. We're all frustrated. We're trying to get these emotions out somehow. Just find a better way. It really like isn't healthy.
Right when you pick it up, like, it's only a matter of seconds until you're agitated.
Yeah, you see some of the shit Waz tweets? You kidding me?
That's why
I really got to respect Waz's ability to upset so many different types of people in our country. It's really impressive.
That's why I love the restricted area, though, because we're doing some stuff that we've really never done before here and there, but it's quite paradoxical.
Also, I still think Waz's feud with Taylor Swift fans is like the funniest shit. Okay, so
that was
ever.
Okay. That,
you have to write that up.
The funniest
that was
shit.
That was the smoke that I least wanted part of. 100%.
It's so funny.
Yeah, Jade, let's cook that algorithm for next week's restricted area. We'll go after Taylor Swift.
I like this idea.
I've been stupid enough to get into the crosshairs of a few hives, and that's probably the worst one, honestly. The really? The music
worse
hive
than
shit.
Beyonce.
Well, so I've gotten to, see, like, I've never ever said anything like, "Yo, Beyonce stinks" on the internet.
Right, you like Beyonce.
And I've always done something smart enough that I could weasel my way out. Be like, "Look, I literally just said Rihanna's great." Right. You know, what I was trying to do was rile them up, right? But one time, I riled up the Aaliyah hive, which I did not know was a thing, but is a fucking thing, and they tore my ass to shreds. And I'm talking about, they were talking about my physical appearance and all kinds. They were just mean. They were nasty.
Mean girls.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to just chill.
That's the thing. You don't want to get into like a verbal fight with young people. Because young people do not give. They will say anything, right? Physical fight, sure.
Sure.
You can go. Yeah. But like verbal fight, like no. Like I'm a good shit talker. I'm not messing with like 18 and 19 year olds on the internet in terms of just shit talking. Like I can't say the things I want to say because, you know. I got paychecks to worry about. They don't. They don't care.
Right. Exactly. And again, a lot of 95% of these people have avatars of Aaliyah, Beyonce, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I don't even know who I'm talking to. Like, if it's a grown man, I don't mind saying, like, your mother's a whore or something like that, right? Like, but I could be talking to a freaking 14-year-old girl. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why you just got to stay out of it.
I don't know if this could be – I don't know if this can't be in the pot, Jade. We got to boss it over this.
Sure.
But I got in trouble from
– Oh, wow.
Buy one for somebody.
And we're back.
We're back.
I didn't know you liked Taylor Swift.
Love her. Oh my god.
Runs a secret Taylor Swift fan account.
Feel of 22, baby.
That's a song. All right, Eden. Love questions.
All right, love questions this week. We'll just start with the longer one. This is from an anonymous friend of the show. How should one react if their partner doesn't want to do couples therapy? Mine tends to look at it in the way people in sports see players-only meetings, meaning only bad teams have those. Therefore, only bad relationships go to couples therapy.
Just go to therapy, bro.
So, you know, like, here's the thing. It can come off, if you don't want to go, as not, you know, only bad couples go to couples therapy. It's like if Jimmy Butler on his off day had James Harden be like, you want to come work out with me? It's just like, bro, I don't need to work out. Like, I do this, right? Like, I you can go work out. You probably need to put some extra hours in, and you probably need that, but I'm Jimmy Butler. I do the 3 a.m. shit. It's just, like, it's my off day. Like, I'm good. You need to go work out yourself. And that's what I think it can come off as. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So I think there's a couple of factors at play, including the one that Waz mentioned. But it's just the first one is you want to like reframe the thought that therapy is like a pejorative. Like the stigma surrounding the whole concept of therapy is fading, especially with younger generations. But a lot of people still have that like initial feeling, just like when the word therapy comes up, as just like, no, that's like a negative thing. Like when it's really not, once you sit down and like take the time to think about it. And the second factor is like, I feel like there's a stress and anxiety that comes with the idea of actually doing therapy, like introspection and facing fears or insecurities. So if either of these you feel like are what apply to your partner, like I think you have to take sort of like a baby steps approach if you really feel like this is something that could be beneficial for your relationship. So like some ideas I feel like are like just doing homework about like what is couples therapy, what the process is like, because there's a ton of information on the internet, and the more you know about it, the less like intimidating it can be. And like, you can also, if you go to therapy and your partner doesn't, you can share about how your therapy sessions have like helped, like, you know, I'm working on myself and like how therapy helps me realize things about myself that I wouldn't have come up with on my own. Like just sometimes having a, like an outside perspective can be beneficial. It's just like, patience is going to be a big thing, because like you can't expect someone to just like wake up and be like, oh yeah, now I think couples therapy is a great idea. Like you have to kind of slowly come to the realization, let them come to the realization like over time. So like I would feel like just like sort of touch base with them here and there. Like I said, do reading, do the homework about like the process. I keep saying process about trust like it. What. Yeah, I know. Trust the process. But like just reading about it, sending each other's articles, reading them together, and just letting them come to the realization that it's not a bad thing. Like it's not, we're not going to couples therapy because we have a bad relationship. It's because it can just be beneficial for the relationship itself. So
yeah, on your first point, Eden, you could have been talking about therapy, period. It doesn't even have to be couples therapy.
For sure. Like, yeah.
I think every single person probably would benefit from therapy.
Oh yeah, I absolutely believe that too.
In one way or another, like you have to find the right person, and that's kind of like that's where I've gotten stuck before. Is like I've wanted to talk to people, and I'm like, wow, this is going okay, and then like 2 weeks later, they canceled an appointment, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't get a hold of them, and then it's like, oh well, now I have to start all over.
Yeah,
you know, and like all that is daunting and stuff. But if you can get it going with a solid therapist or a psychiatrist or whatever, like it is good to talk to people. It's good to talk to people with objective opinions. It's good to talk to people that study this shit and can provide insight to you that you aren't aware of. I think that's all positive. I think that everybody could benefit from it, because as perfect as everyone might think they are, everyone can improve. Sorry, Zach, I know you're perfect, but you could be more perfecter.
It's debatable. I don't know. I'm a pretty high standard, especially for emotional competency.
You're the gold standard.
I've done couples therapy before, and I think it's great. Like if you guys approach it, in an honest way, and you really try to leave that stuff in therapy in terms of like don't take what's said in there.
Right.
And try to then fight about it outside of the session. Like, I think if you can keep it in there, I think it can be a really helpful, healthy tool for the relationship. Like I'm big, like I have a lot of friends in therapy. I'm getting into therapy myself. Like, I just think it's helpful. Like I agree with what they said, like Eden, what you said could be applied to couples therapy or just regular therapy. Like it really is. It's become so less of a stigma, right? So less of a bad thing. Like, it used to be like, oh, you're in therapy, that's not good. No, that's good. This shit's good. It's like, awesome. It's legitimately great for you.
Yeah, it's not the 1950s anymore. We're not going to pack you up and take you to the loony bin if you reveal something in therapy. Also, I mean, because of
that's
the
a bit pandemic, of a that's a bit of a trope, though. By the way, that it's seen as a bad thing. They always say that, but I mean, it's been around for a long, long time.
It has, but I think there's older generations have found it to be that. I think younger generations are much more accepting of it, to where now, like what you're saying is like, true. Like I think it's a generational thing.
Yeah, my dad would never do that shit.
And now in the pandemic, it's easier than ever because you can just do it over the phone or you can do it over video chat. You don't have to go to somebody's office.
Yeah,
like, it's easier than it's ever been before to get into it.
I would suggest too, or also, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be therapist. Like a mutual friend could be a great counselor. By the way,
that's tough though. Who's friend, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you get into like group picking sides. I know, but I'm just saying, like, how many friends do you have?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. That you
and your partner met.
I know. It has to be extremely balanced.
Yeah, like if you have like a me in your life that can like separate sides and like step away and really be objective in the situation. But like, that can be hard.
Stop sending me an invoice for these sessions, okay?
Yeah.
I speak from experience, you know?
Yeah, so. But actually, while Zach was talking, another thing I thought of was like, talk to your other couple friends that have done couples therapy.
Yeah.
Like, sit down to dinner with them and just like open a dialogue, like, hear about their experience, like, be it positive or negative, just like some, like a couple or friend like that you know that has done it before, just like let them talk about their experience, how it helped, what they liked or what they didn't like, just to familiarize yourself and your partner with just gaining knowledge about what it is instead of just whatever they have in their head as what couples therapy is, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Zach is a real person, you know, that I'm not saying reach out to Zach, but I just mean,
is this for you like, and Boogie, Zach?
Hearing people you know
just will not compromise.
It's just different than like reading a like an op-ed, you know, written by someone.
I'd be happy to talk to people about my experience with couples therapy. Like I'd find it to be very positive.
Cool. Well,
want to give your number?
Yeah. It's Andre.
You can find Zach on Twitter.
From Jay.
Hold on. Let me find a means number.
You know how your insurance rolls over every single year. We just did our thing with the company recently, and January. Whenever my shit kicks in January, I'm finding a therapist.
Yeah.
I'm taking a leap, guys.
Do it. It's healthy. It's good. Like, I agree with Maze. I feel like everyone can benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of leaves, Maze, you still on leave?
I went back yesterday. Reign of terror is over.
Okay. All right. You got another one, Eden?
Yes.
Hold on. I did see a tweet, December 6, 2020. Why do men start podcasts instead of going to therapy? Jade?
It is good therapy, though. Potting. It is.
Yeah, talking things out with your friends, with people. Period. Yeah.
Talking. Like a podcast is a good way to have a telephone conversation, which nobody has anymore. So
it's weird. I like talking on the radio. I like talking on podcasts. I fucking hate talking on the phone.
Really? It's a mixed bag. It depends on who it is for me. Some people I love talking to. Some people I'm just like, we could have texted.
I love talking to my parents on the phone. Thanks. That's it. No offense to anyone else in my life. I do not like talking to people on the phone.
Well, speaking of texting, our other question from another anonymous friend of the show.
It's like a Christmas, like 2 months a year. Scrolling
thumbing through my iPhone, strolling through the mall. I walked right past you, didn't notice you at all. Every year around this time, I get nostalgic, thinking about that Christmas Eve we didn't do shit. I was only 22 and a newbie. You were drinking Hennessy, telling your friends you wanna do me. Or was it just a Christmas wish? Somebody to love and spend the new year with? Add to my list of people that I need to buy for, of people I would even cheat and die for. Dear, you wanna show me that you care? Meet me in the bathroom at Macomb Mall and I'll be there. People stare but pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, imitating Dick Burton. And I'm certain it's a mass psychosis sold to us by our parents and various holy rollers.
It's fucking Christmas, like 2 months a year. It's fucking Christmas, like 2 months a year. Somebody's stalking you, he knows what you feel. Every year Halloween gets bigger,
and Santa becomes even more of a father figure. And little Susie regrets that she ever knew me for introducing her to Steely Dan and Kubrick movies. Oh baby, you're gonna have to fucking sue me to get you off my mind. It's a blue Christmas every Tuesday, where we meet in discreet locations, usually when your husband's on one of his vacations. You got some holiday cheer in that trunk, but first there's some mistletoe hanging over my junk. We can smoke some trees and get drunk. I put on some Bing Crosby or P-Funk. Is it me or has the fire got us hot? Like the hand job you gave me on Black Friday in the parking lot. Either way, I'ma sing hallelujah, cause Easter is coming and we're jumping like Oompa Loompas.
It's fucking Christmas, got 2 months a year. It's fucking Christmas, like 2 months a year. Somebody's watching, yeah, he's always near. It's fucking Christmas, like 2 months a year. It's fucking Christmas, like 2 months a year. It's fucking Christmas, like 2 months a year. Somebody stop.